When I came to Bob Jones University, it was in the fall of 1978. I had graduated from college, and I was here for seminary training. I don't ever recall sitting on the main floor in those days for chapel, so I was always up in the balcony because I was a graduate student. And one of the things that I remember very clearly about chapel, just like we've always had in chapel, is that we said the Bob Jones University Creed. And over the time that I was here, we did have messages and sermons about the doctrine that was in the Creed. And sometimes a series would be done on that, which I thought was very, very helpful. But what I would like to do this morning is really take a few moments and really try to ask the question, why do we say the Bob Jones University Creed? And why do we say it every single day? Maybe you've asked yourself that question. Perhaps when you say the creed, you don't think much about it. Maybe you do think about it about halfway through it. Or maybe perhaps you stumble over your words. I think yesterday I got the words all mixed up. And so how many of you have ever gotten the words mixed up and you kind of mumbled over them? Okay, I understand that. Perhaps you enjoy saying it every day. Or maybe perhaps it bothers some of you. I noticed last year that there was a young lady sitting right down here on the front. Sorry, I'm pointing you girls out. But I noticed she didn't say the creed every day. In fact, as I watched her every day, she didn't say the creed. Now, that doesn't irritate me. It just makes me wonder. I thought, well, she doesn't say it every day. That I'm interested. And so I didn't run up and grab her after chapel and say, why don't you say the creed every day? You know, I didn't do that. But one day I saw her in the dining common. Fact is, we were at the drink machine and she turned around and I looked at her and I thought, that's the face of the girl that doesn't say the creed every day. So I was very kind. I introduced myself to her and I said, listen, I need to ask you a question. I noticed that you don't say the creed in chapel. I said, do you mind me asking you why? And then I said, do you believe it? And she said, oh, yes, I definitely believe it. She said, but I actually feel a bit hypocritical in saying it every day because I feel like it's sort of like the vain repetition of the prayers of the hypocrites. And so I don't want to say it without thinking about it and without putting my heart into it, so I just don't say it. I said, okay, well, I appreciate you telling me. She was a senior. She was getting ready to graduate. And I thought, you know, sometime along the way, it would probably be helpful for all of us, and I'm including the faculty and staff, to understand the creed, why it was written, and why do we say it every day. When I came to Bob Jones University to be the president here, there were lots of suggestions about some of the things that we should do regarding chapel. And a lot of the things that we've done in chapel were based on those suggestions. One of the suggestions had to do with the saying of the creed. Maybe we shouldn't say it every day. Maybe we should say it on Monday, and maybe we should end the week on Thursday, or maybe we should only say it, you know, once a week. And I thought, you know, I need to give some thought to this seriously. So I have. I've spent a lot of time thinking about and studying the history of the creed. Why was it written? When it was written, what was the viewpoint of the founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr.? And the more I studied, the more I realized how massively important and how big a deal the Bob Jones University Creed really is. Fact is, you really can't put our creed on par with anything else that we do here in the university. It's not the creed and our studies and our classes and our societies and this. And oh yes, the creed is a part of that. No, actually, the creed stands by itself. I would like to say this, that the creed, from a level of importance, is actually the single most important thing that we do here at Bob Jones University. It is more important than anything. Our buildings, our studies, our societies, our sports, our arts, our art gallery, our faculty, our staff, our students, and even our board of trustees that the Bob Jones University Creed is more important than all those things. Because the Bob Jones University Creed is foundational to who we are and why we exist. So let me begin first of all by asking this question, what is a creed anyway? Now I'm assuming most of you probably grew up in a church where you did not say a creed every Sunday, all right? So most Baptist churches don't. Most Bible churches don't. There are Presbyterian churches that do. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and every single week we would say the Apostles' Creed. And we said it by memory, and I wasn't even a Christian when I said it. Now, I will say this, that it did help me believe in Christ before I ever believed in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? I began to understand the doctrine, and by the time I was 19 years old, I actually became a believer. So what is a creed? First of all, a creed is just a formal summary statement of basic Christian beliefs. It's boiling down the beliefs that have to do with salvation. Think about it. In the Bible, not all of the Bible speaks about how to be saved. There are many things in the Bible. But what it does have to say about how a person gets into heaven are the most important things. So a creed is basically a summary of Christian doctrine that has to do specifically with salvation and the person of Jesus Christ. And generally, a creed is very short. For example, the Apostles' Creed is 113 words. The Nicene Creed is 218 words. The Bob Jones University Creed is 97 words. And many churches and many denominations and institutions have said creeds for years. A creed is only authoritative as it summarizes the teachings of the Scripture, and that's what its purpose is all about. And so as we look at a creed, we have to understand that this is not something that's unusual, because historically the church has always had creeds, but it is unusual for a school like Bob Jones University to say it. And I could be very wrong in this, but I don't know of any other Christian school that says a creed every single day in chapel. Now, that leads to the second question, and that is, what is it that makes the Bob Jones University Creed unique? And I think in order to understand the creed, it is very helpful for you to understand our founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., his background, his history, and the times and what they were like when the school was founded. Throughout history, many universities were founded as Christian institutions, and over time, they have left their theological roots, and they have drifted into liberalism, a denial of the inspiration of the Scripture, and a denial of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And we know that because in the United States, you have schools like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Brown University and Dartmouth and so on. Most of the Ivy League schools were founded as schools to train ministers. But today, they no longer believe what they once believed. So at some point, they changed. Now, when Bob Jones College was founded in 1927, it was during a time of very intense conflict in the United States of America between people that were called theological modernists or liberals and people that were called fundamentalists. And a fundamentalist didn't matter what the denomination was, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. A fundamentalist was one who believed in the inspiration of the Bible and the fundamental truths of the Christian faith. What had happened in the United States is that German rationalism had influenced American seminaries, and a battle raged within the mainline Protestant denominations in the USA between the liberals, the modernists, and the fundamentalists. And the modernists had moved away from the foundational truths of the Christian faith, and they had forsaken the supernatural aspects of the faith. I mean, just think about our creed. Think about the phrases that are within our creed that are supernatural in their nature. For example, inspiration, that's supernatural. creation, the virgin birth, incarnation, regeneration. All of these things are supernatural elements. And Bob Jones Sr. saw the effects of liberalism in his own Methodist denomination. He wasn't a Baptist. He was a Methodist evangelist. And therefore, he had no patience and he had no toleration for doctrinal liberalism and the liberal denominational hierarchy that he was under. So, in the founding of this university, he wanted a creed that would clearly state the fundamentals of the faith. The fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith were primarily centered around five fundamentals. And they all start with V, the verbal inspiration of the Bible, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the vicarious atonement of Christ, the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the visible return of Christ to come back the second time. Those were the basic fundamentals of the Christian faith. And he believed that if we stay true to a sound creed, then the school would stay true to the Christian faith and it would not doctrinally compromise and fall into error. So the purpose of the creed was written as a protection. Dr. Bob wanted to write the creed, but he struggled in putting it all together. And so the creed was actually written by a friend of his. His name was Sam Small. He was a journalist from the Atlanta Constitution, and he was visiting Dr. Bob Sr. in his office before this college was started down in Florida, and Dr. Bob Sr. asked if he would help him write the creed. And so, on the back of an envelope, with a pencil, he sat down and he wrote it out, and it was inserted into the university's charter. And let me read to you the charter. It says, the general nature and object of the corporation, that's the school, shall be to conduct an institution of learning for the general education of youth in the essentials of culture and in the arts and sciences, giving special emphasis to the Christian religion and the ethics revealed in the Holy Scriptures, combating all atheistic, agnostic, pagan, and so-called scientific adulterations of the gospel, unqualifiedly affirming and teaching the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, the creation of man by the direct act of God, the incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his identification as the Son of God, his vicarious atonement for the sins of mankind by the shedding of his blood on the cross, the resurrection of his body from the tomb, his power to save men from sin, the new birth through the regeneration by the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. And then it concludes, this charter shall never be amended, altered, or changed as to the provisions herein before set forth. So what is the creed? If I could say it this way, it's like the U.S. Constitution to the United States. How important is our Constitution? You changed the U.S. Constitution, and what have you changed? You have fundamentally changed the United States of America. And so since 1776 and later on when the Constitution was completed, we have abided by or sought to abide by and interpret the United States of America based on that Constitution. And so the Bob Jones University Creed is unique because it identifies, it is our identity as believers and what is the core of our belief. And Bob Jones University Creed is the core to who we are. Now that leads me to the third thing. And that is, why do we say it every day? And I'm going to give you two primary reasons, and this is very, very important. Because this actually applies to you not only as a student, but actually as a graduate when that day comes. Two reasons. Number one, we say it regularly for the sake of permanence. We live in a day when everything is changing. But truth is changeless. The truth that is in the creed that is biblical is changeless. It is timeless. You know, we know this for sure, that that there is nothing on the campus of Bob Jones University that will inevitably survive time. Nothing. The building that you're sitting in one day will not survive time. We have an administration building that was built in 1947. And that building will not be here when you come back to school in the fall. It's going to be torn down. Buildings don't survive time. People don't survive time. But truth does. 38 years ago when I came, I said the creed. And I said the exact same creed that we're going to say today at the end of the chapel. The truth of it has not changed. How many things have changed since you've become a student? How many things about Bob Jones University have changed? But the truths in the creed are permanent. Everything in the creed was written for succeeding generations. Nothing was put into it that has to be adjusted in the future because it may become outdated. All Bible-believing, born-again people will always be able to agree with this creed because these truths are eternal truths. They are essential to our faith. They are foundational for our salvation. In the past, when a school changed, somebody made a decision to change. Something was given up. Somebody was appeased. Something was adjusted. There is nothing in this creed that needs to change. There are a lot of things we can be flexible on, but we cannot be we must be inflexible on the creed. Therefore, saying the creed daily recognizes the permanence of truth. If we continue to believe the truths in this creed, then this school will never drift into theological compromise. That's why we require every single professor, every single teacher, every single person that works here to confess and agree to the creed. For example, we have 19 PhDs in our science department. Every single one of our PhDs, everyone in our science department believes that God created the world. If they believed in and they taught evolution as a fact at Bob Jones University, then their employment would be terminated immediately. Right away. No questions asked. Because in order to be a teacher, you have to say, I believe in the creation of man by the direct act of God. This is a permanent creed that is to never change. Fact is, if the creed ever changes, then the school by law can be legally shut down. On March 2nd, 1950, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preached here at Bob Jones University in Chapel on the creed. Listen to what he said about the creed and the ability to shut down Bob Jones. He said, the charter was so written that any student in this school could come into this community under the law and close this school by law if you ever permit this creed to be repudiated at the school. If you repudiate it and change it, you can close this institution. We built one institution that can stay orthodox if there's one Christian left in this country and there's justice in the court. The school should never go modernist. And anybody can come in here and close it up. Under the charter, you can shut it up if ever a liberal is permitted to stay in and disseminate false doctrine into this institution. This school has been hedged about with every protection that is possible to put about it because America is filled with institutions that started off sound and then they lost their faith. Why do we say the creed every day? Not so you won't forget it. And not so we hope you'll believe it. But because it is fundamental to the core of who we are. Change this and everything has changed. When we say the creed every day, we are saying that we're not going to change. Sometimes my children would ask me a question, can I? And my answer was, no. They would ask me again. And my answer was, no. I said, fact is, you can ask me a million times and we're going to say no. You know, no is a good word. And when it comes to the matter of the creed and the matter of changing it, we're saying no. We are committed to biblical truth. This is of the highest importance. And it's important for you as a believer to have a backbone of steel and say no to those who want to change the truth in the Scripture. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. I'm not changing. So the first reason we say it is because of permanence. But then there's a second reason. And that is for the sake of unity. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was an evangelist. He had held great evangelistic campaigns with different denominations cooperating together for the purpose of advancing the gospel. So he would work with Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians. Why? Because they all basically believed the truth that was in the creed. He wanted a creed that would unite and not divide Christians. He wanted something that we could all agree upon. So, he maintained a non-sectarian approach throughout his evangelistic career and was determined that the college should not overemphasize any scriptural interpretation that would be divisive. He hoped to unify orthodox believers, that's those that believe the truth, around the fundamental precepts of the Word of God. Therefore, the school was founded as a non-denominational institution that could be supported by all Protestant denominations who subscribe to the fundamental truths of the Scripture as stated in the college creed. Different denominations were represented in the faculty and declared that the denominational integrity of every student would remain unchallenged. He would not ask students coming to Bob Jones from different denominations and traditions to change their denomination. Fact is, when in the past, services used to be held here on campus Sunday morning, and students went to their own Sunday school class of their denomination. So when I was here as a student, I lived in town, so I went to a local church. My wife was here on campus, and she went to, I think it was the Baptist girls Sunday school class. So if you were a Baptist, you had to go to the Baptist girls Sunday school class. And the reason why is it was important to maintain where you came from. He believed in the possibility of denominational cooperation without organic church union. What he meant by that was this. If you're a Baptist, stay a Baptist. If you're a Methodist, stay a Methodist. There's nothing wrong with differing groups who have different convictions about things. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. saw this as the way to keep things right. For example, if you're in a Baptist church and the Baptist church goes liberal, then what do? You go and start another church. And by the way, that's happened for the last 2,000 years. If a church goes into liberalism, what do? Go plant another church. And you maintain unity based on truth. When Senior spoke about unity, he was not speaking about organic unity. He did not believe in bringing churches together to make one church. He believed the unity of the church was not found in one church, but in all the churches who love the truth. You see the difference? Unity is not all Christians coming together and just being together and suddenly things sort of get watered down. He believed that unity was found in the truth. So each group could have its own convictions. So some churches are pre-mill and others are a-mill. You say, what does that mean? Hang on, stay here long enough, you'll figure it out. There were some churches that believed in the Westminster Confession of Faith. There are other churches that believed in the New Hampshire Baptist Confession of Faith. Some were Calvinist, others were Arminian. Some were cessationists, others were non-cessationists. Some believed in deep water baptism, others believed in sprinkling. Some believed in one pastor as the head of the church. Some believed in a plurality of elders. Some churches use the King James Version. Others use the modern translation. By the way, we have a lot of that in Greenville. Dr. Bob Sr. stated, I think all Protestant denominations are called into existence to underscore something that should be underscored. But all of them are built upon the same essential foundations of the Christian faith. And I made up my mind that a school could be built that would appeal to all evangelical Christian groups if you stick to the fundamentals. I don't want to divide God's people. I want to unite them on the essential fundamentals of the faith. He believed that the evangelical Christians, the Bible-believing Christians, were not a divided army because they believed the fundamental truths. Stick to the fundamentals. Don't try to underscore something that some special group underscored. He said that most of the people that divide God's people are people that underscore something that may have a place, but it's not supposed to be underscored or set on as the most important truths. So when the school was founded, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was determined to have a creed upon which all true Christians can agree. All believers believe these truths. A creed that will allow us to work with people who are different. And he said we should go as far as we can on the right road with people. But I want to make it very clear that the founder did not believe that we should cooperate with anybody in religious matters who would deny our creed. We do not give Christian recognition at all to those who deny the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Furthermore, we do not cooperate with any Christians who give recognition to those who deny the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. We do not cooperate with liberals, and we will not cooperate with those who cooperate with liberals. We are going to stand apart from those who believe false teaching. So finally, we then firmly believe our creed, we also have to realize that that's not all we believe. In other words, it's not just so simplified that we don't believe anything else. So I would like to say this, that Bob Jones University has always had some unique distinctives to it. For example, we've always been an independent organization. We're not under a denomination. We're not under a fellowship, a convention, a ruling church body. We're an independent school operating under a board of trustees. We have historically been identified with fundamentalism. Why? Because historically, fundamentalism was the militant side of evangelicalism because it was committed to the truth and took an aggressive stance against religious liberalism. So I grew up in a liberal church. When I got saved and I began to understand the Bible, I realized it was my duty to not be involved in liberalism. So I left my liberal church. One of the reasons I came to Bob Jones University is because of that position. That Christians must be committed to the church truth and stand for it. And then let me also say that within American and church culture, Bob Jones University has always been educationally and socially conservative. And so therefore, in lifestyle issues, in approach to education, in our approach to worship, we have always been conservative. Therefore, we find that a large number of our students who come here come to Bob Jones because of these distinctives. These are the things that made the difference in a student coming here. And I think that's okay. There should be a school among Christians like Bob Jones University. I think there ought to be a school in America like Bob Jones that's like what we are. A place where believers with shared convictions can come and learn and grow. Nobody should ever ask Bob Jones University to change its convictions simply to attract more students. That would be terrible for us because we would not then be who we are. Our uniqueness is found in our distinctives. Furthermore, our relationships and cooperation with other believers are going to be at various levels. We don't work with all people in all places at all times. We have to use discernment and what is the best approach. However, we should do everything we can to have a spirit of charity towards all believers and to cooperate where we can with other believers for the sake of the gospel and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's a famous saying that Philip Schaff, the distinguished 19th century church historian, called the watchword of Christian peacemakers. It says this: in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. This saying is often attributed to great theologians such as Augustine. However, it actually came from a German Lutheran theologian who wrote in the 1600s during a bloody time in European history in which religious tensions had played a significant role. The writer strikes the balance. He calls for unity on the essential things, the core truth in our union with Christ, those salvific truths. And non-essentials, not that they're unimportant, but those things that if you don't believe these are not going to keep us from being saved. He calls for liberty so that all might follow their conscience under the word and the spirit. And then finally, in all things, there must be love, which bonds everything together in perfect harmony. So, when you say the creed, I know some days you don't think about it. I understand that. I got that. But think about it and be engaged. And let's all stand together as we finish this morning by saying the Bob Jones University Creed, after which you'll be dismissed. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, the creation of man by the direct act of God, the incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His identification as the Son of God, His vicarious atonement for the sins of mankind by shedding His blood on the cross, the resurrection of His body from the tomb, His power to save men from sin, the new birth from the regeneration by the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed.